Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word of the Lord. We ask, Father, that we would hear it, Lord, not as a dead word, but as a living word, that you are speaking. Lord, speak to us. We are listening, Lord, with open hearts, ready to hear, Lord, to receive, to believe, to obey. Help us, Father, by your Holy Spirit, to understand the truths that the carnal mind cannot grasp. Help us, Father. Lord, take us deeper, Lord, into this truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're blessed. If you know the Lord, oh, you're blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." That's a whole lot. Every spiritual blessing. You know, most people in this world, they'd just rather have some material blessing. But you can have all of the money in this world and still be empty on the inside and still not have peace and not have joy. But he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We're blessed. Psalms 112 and verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments." If you fear the Lord, well, the Bible declares you to be blessed. Psalm 34 and 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." If your trust is in the Lord, you're blessed. He's going to show you his goodness. Psalm 65 and 4 says, "Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple." I'm telling you, if you come into the presence of the Lord, you're blessed. Psalm 84 and 4, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." I just wanted to share a few verses of Scripture that talk about how blessed we are, but it's from cover to cover. The Bible is a book of blessings. Our God is a blesser. If you're blessed and you know it, say amen. I said that because, you know what? All of us are blessed, whether we know it or not. If you're here tonight, I want to tell you there is a measure of the blessing of God on your life. But how would you like to be more blessed? Yeah. It's okay to want to be more blessed. It's a good thing. Amen. Well, listen to what Jesus said in Acts 20 and 35. It says, "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" You know, this time of year, there's certainly a lot of giving that goes on. And I think that it's a wonderful thing. I know that it's commercialized and, you know, that maybe the world uses it in some ungodly way, maybe. But I see that so many people take joy in giving. And whether there's something wrong on some level with some of that, I'm sure that there is. But what a wonderful thing when people freely choose to give and to share with others. And I think that that spirit of giving began with the giving of God's Son, that he gave the greatest gift. It didn't begin with Santa Claus, and it didn't begin even with the wise man, but it began with the Lord, who gave his only begotten Son for us. There's something special about this time of year. I think even for those who don't necessarily believe in Jesus, it's amazing how many people believe in giving this time of year, and that's a good thing. But for us, it shouldn't even just be a seasonal thing, but it ought to be something that year-round that we believe in giving. And I'll just be real candid and honest with you. I'm kind of bent that way, and I do it more so on Wednesday night, I guess. But, you know, I don't like to talk about giving. I really don't. I mean, I would rather preach on any subject in the whole Bible. I'd rather talk to you about hell tonight than giving. I just, you know, preachers get a bad rap. All those preachers, they want our money, you know. And you know what? If that's what you think, please give it somewhere else. Because if that's the way you feel, I don't want your money. Now, the Lord might still want it, but I don't want it. I'm being too candid, aren't I? But anyway, that's just from the heart. So I want to get that out of the way. But you know, there's this, sometimes when you talk about witnessing, sometimes people kind of get, they start squirming in their seats. And I think the same thing is maybe even more so true when you talk about money. People start checking to make sure their wallet's still there, you know, and they... I want you to hear me right now. We need to hear the truth of God's word. Truth sets free. It shouldn't be where we feel that way about somebody talking about giving. Now, I understand there is a lot of baloney in the religious culture we live in. And maybe there are some people just trying to get your money. But I'm telling you, the Bible, the truth of Scripture, will absolutely set you free about money and make it where it is a joy to trust the Lord and a joy to give and to be generous. I thought Bob must have somehow got a glimpse of my notes tonight when he was talking about the Lord being generous and us being like him, because I'm telling you, that is exactly what God wants, is for us to be generous. Other than Christmas, most of the time, the world has the attitude that it's better to get than to give. And you know, we are daily bombarded with advertising that tells us that you need this so you can be happy. And if you get this, then you can be successful. This is what's really going to make you fulfilled in life. And is that the spirit of the world is always cultivating that covetous attitude that, you know, I just need a little more. You know, they asked Howard Hughes one time, how much does it take, or how much money would it take to make you happy? And he said, just a little more. You know, I mean, he was an absolute billionaire, and yet he just was never really satisfied. And you know, that same attitude is so alive and well. And, you know, it always puzzles me. I mean, I guess it's, you know, maybe I'm too small-minded, I don't know. But when a guy has $20 million, I'm always like, what difference is it going to make if you get 30? I mean, if you got $20 billion, what difference does it make if you get $23 billion? Okay. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't really understand that desire. But you know what? You don't have to be a billionaire to be that way. No, on some level, we all can be tempted to have that attitude that, you know, if I just had a little more, if I could just get a little more, and that covetous attitude is, and we know better, so we wouldn't verbalize it, but maybe the attitude of our heart sometimes is that we want to get more than we want to give. And I'm just telling you, God wants us to get free from that. It's more blessed to give. The one who gives is more blessed. Now, I want to say this. We're not just talking about money. In fact, sometimes money can be easy. Okay, easier. Because, I really believe what I liked what Jonathan said Sunday morning when we were getting ready to receive the offering. You know, most of us, there's some part of our life, you know, we work, and, you know, there's time and effort and energy that went into that work. We got paid, and so when we give, it's kind of like we're giving something of ourselves. Well, unless you were born with it, I guess, or somebody gave it to you. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. And so, sure, that giving financially can really be meaningful to us. But when you give of yourself, whether it's in, you know, time and effort, you're ministering to other people, helping other people, there's a lot of ways that we can give besides just money. But money, material things, can be such a key issue. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It has everything to do with your spiritual walk and your relationship with the Lord. And when Jesus talks about a man not being able to serve two masters, it is not an accident that he uses the example of God and mammon. Because so often, that is the real struggle. And I think in a culture like ours, that struggle is very real, very much alive today. But it's more blessed to give. You know, you feel blessed when somebody gives you something, especially something you don't deserve. If somebody walks up to you and gives you some money, don't you feel blessed? In fact, sometimes we might have even say, if somebody gave us money, we might even say, well, I got blessed. But you know what's a bigger blessing? To be the one giving that. More blessed, more blessed, more blessed. I'm telling you, there is a joy that goes with that kind of giving freely, willingly, cheerfully, without compulsion. I hate being pressured to give in any way. I really do. I despise it. I don't like guilt trips. I don't need to see. Please don't be offended at me tonight. I'm trying to help you. I don't need to see pictures of hungry kids to get me to give. I don't need music playing in the background and a lot of hype. I don't need that. And I don't need somebody trying to, you know, pressure me. I don't need it to be a visual thing. I don't need any pride involved. Who will give? And let's acknowledge, you know, let's put it up somewhere, who gave what. And I'm just telling you, Jesus was against all of that. There's no time, no place where Jesus ever promoted. You're supposed to do your giving in secret. And our giving ought to be something that we decide in our heart. Not something that we are just emotionally stirred to do. You know, a lot of times when people talk about the heart today, they just think of emotion. But the heart isn't just where your feelings are. The heart is the seat of the will, you know. And you need to realize that in your heart is where you decide. Now, a lot of people let their decisions be made by their feelings, and that's why they get themselves in financial trouble, by the way. If your feelings are running your life, you're going to be a mess. Y'all quiet on me, I guess you're thinking. But anyway, I'm just telling you, the heart is much more than that. It's the seat of the will, and you decide what you give. And I just don't believe that anybody ought to be pressured or manipulated or guilted in any way when it comes to giving. I have seen and experienced firsthand, and I guess it just kind of goes with the territory as a minister, but I have experienced a lot of great cons. Just saying. Moving on. 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. As he purposes, as he decides, not grudgingly or of necessity. No, you don't, you know, it's not like, oh, I really don't want to, but you know, I guess I should. It's not, well, you know, you have to do this. It's not of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And this, I must tell you, this needs to be a way of life for us, that we are cheerful givers, that we delight in giving, that we have joy about giving, that we think we're actually more blessed when we get to give. And I'm telling you, if we really get a hold of that, it'll free you up. I think the problem starts with sometimes when people don't have the right view of God. They misunderstand his character. It's these misconceptions about God, in fact, that mess so many people up in lots of different areas of life. But a lot of people don't view God really as a giver, but instead, they see him as a taker. When something bad happens, they say, God did this. And when something is taken from their life, they say, well, God took it away. And when good things come, they think, you know, well, they just got what they deserved, or it was their turn to be lucky or something. But they don't really view God as a giver. It's amazing how that Satan manages to twist people's mind and attitude about who God is. Jesus tells us very plainly in John 10:10 that it's the thief, it's Satan who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's the taker. He says, but I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. See, he wants to give us life, abundant life, overflowing life. But people will so often blame God when they don't get what they want or when they don't get their way. They blame the Lord. But the Lord delights in blessing his children. Matthew 7:11, Jesus says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I believe that verse. I believe that our Father in heaven will give good things to those who ask him. Jesus is building our faith. You see, when he says that, he's teaching us that we should believe, that we should expect that our Father gives good gifts to those who ask. Now, he's a giver of good things. And you know what? We've all, everybody that's a parent knows very well what I'm talking about when I say that sometimes your kids want things that wouldn't be good for them. And they may not be bad things, but it's just not something that a kid should have, or it's not time for a kid to have that. And so, you know, you don't give it to them. And we may not understand, you know, most of us think, well, why doesn't God just give me everything I want? You would be a mess. And you might end up going to hell. Well, I got a couple of people on board with me there. The rest of you are like, no, if God gave me that $1 billion I've been praying for, I'd be all good. It's, yeah. Yeah, and it's not just the money you'd be asking him for. I'm telling you, if God answered all of our prayers and we just, oh my. How many of you married the right person? If you're married, raise your hand. Now, I'm not going to have you raise your hand for this one, but if God answered all your prayers, you might have married the wrong one. Moving on, I'm just saying, listen, he gives good gifts to his children. He is a giver, and he answers prayer. everything good in our life, I believe it came from him. James 1, 16 and 17 says, do not be deceived. There's a lot of deceived people about this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It's telling us that his character is pure. It's perfect. It's the same all the time. He is a giver of good gifts. And we are partakers of his divine nature. He wants us to be like him. We read in Matthew 7:11 that he gives good gifts. But if you back up just a few verses to verse 8, Jesus says, for everyone who asks receives. Now, some people I know would take offense to Jesus' words there because you say, I've asked and I didn't receive. And I'm going to say it one more time. Sometimes we don't ask in faith, and sometimes we ask for the wrong things, and sometimes we ask for the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. We ask for something out of the will of God, but don't throw away the truth that the Lord Jesus himself spoke here, that everyone who asks receives. How does that happen? Because our God is a giver, and he wants to bless us. That's who he is. You know, Jesus said a lot of things the religious people had trouble with, and they still do. I know. If you start using human reasoning and you say, well, I asked and I didn't. No, we need to believe. The more that you take hold of the words of Jesus, that the one that asks receives. And by the way, if you look at the Greek word there for ask, it is not a one-time event. It is an ongoing process. It is a linear verb. It means to ask, to keep asking. And I'm just telling you, so often, you know, people say, ask God for something one time. They stood in faith for 30 seconds. God wants us to believe him and trust him, but he is a giver. Let me give you another verse that just shows it so clearly. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow. What a promise. What a fantastic verse of scripture to tell us of the heart of God, that if he gave us his son, how will he not also graciously, freely give us all things? He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And when we get to the place that we really believe that he supplies all of our need, then it's not hard to give. No, it's a joy. It's a blessing to be able to give, because we know the Lord will take care of us. Jesus tells us very plainly, Matthew 6, 25 through 33, and I'm going to read this passage, and you just read or listen with me, listen, because sometimes we just need to get the whole thing, and I want you to hear the whole, the tone and the whole attitude of what Jesus is trying to get over to us. He says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or about your body. Oh, man. Worried about our cell phone. Worried about what car we're going to be able to buy. What you put on, is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, if they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And there's that faith issue again. Therefore, do not worry. Are you worried? Don't worry. saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need, or you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He tells us, don't worry. The King James says, take no thought. We shouldn't even be thinking about it. Just don't worry about it. And trust the Lord, our Father, Jehovah Jireh, to take care of our needs. And I'm telling you, this is real important, because as long as we have that fear, we have that worry in the back of our mind, whether or not our needs are going to be met, it will keep us from really being a generous soul and being able to cheerfully give like the Lord wants us to. He loves a cheerful giver. We got to get to the place where we're really cheerful and we're not trying to hang on to stuff, but we're generous. Now, have you ever thought about this? He loves a cheerful giver. Well, doesn't the Lord love everybody? Now, I want you to hear me right now. There are several passages of Scripture like this where the Scripture talks about that God loves a certain kind of person. Now, I want you to understand me. Yes, God loves everybody in some sense. He is love, and he loved the world so much that he gave his son. Absolutely. He loves the person going to hell. He loves the person who has rejected him. Yes, he does. But also understand this, that when we please God, there are special blessings. There is a place that we get with the Lord where we experience his love that you're not going to experience when you're in rebellion and shaking your fist at God or disobeying God. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he said, and I and my Father will come to you and abide with you. In fact, in one of those verses, he says, and will love you. I'm just telling you, there's something to this. A cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And you see, the religious attitude of the day is, oh, well, God loves everybody. That don't matter. Yes, it does matter. That's why it says it. You will experience a measure of God's love in a different way than you will if you're stingy or you don't, you know, you give it religiously but not cheerful. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I thought, well, maybe this is just, you know, the word love here. Maybe this is some, no, it's agapeo. It's that God kind of love. It's the real deal, you know what I'm saying? And there's something special that happens when we're a cheerful giver. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, there's one who scatters yet increases more. There's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be well, or will also be watered himself. See, and I want you to hear me. It's not really so much about what and how much we give. Here's the important thing. Listen to me. It's being a generous soul. Now, that certainly affects what and how much you give. But don't focus on that. Focus on this. See, we want to be free. We just have a generous soul. It's our nature. See, it's his nature to be a giver. And we're a partaker of that nature. So we want it to be our nature that we're a generous soul. Jesus is our example, as always. Matthew 20, 28 is one of the verses that speaks of this, but it says that he didn't come to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And you need to see that all through the Scripture, giving is taught, it's expected, it's even commanded. And when it's done with the right motives, I'm telling you, it brings a blessing. Psalm 112, verse 5, I want to read this from the NIV. It says, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. I like it when good comes to me. I want more good to come to me. And what's the key there? To be generous and lend freely. We've got to be generous. The Bible makes it clear that we're supposed to help those in need. And I know that you can't help everybody. Amen? I mean, if you can, believe me, they're going to line up your door because they're ready. You can't help everybody. I mean, there's literally millions of needs out there. But here's the thing. We got to have that generous soul, that generous spirit. And I know in our day and the time we live in, you certainly need to be wise about your giving. I know that there are some cons out there, and I know there are some people that it doesn't matter how many times you help them, they always need, you know, they've got their hand out, they need you to help them again and again and again. But I'm telling you, we can't get jaded. We can't get to the place where we're calloused and no longer sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, where He would want us to be generous and help meet a need. And see, don't allow it to make you where you're no longer a generous soul. Proverbs 22:9 in the NIV says, "A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor." He himself is going to be blessed. And you know, I find some of the teachings and the statements of Jesus to be so radical, and this next one I think is really radical. In fact, if we really apply this in our lives, it may kind of mess you up a little bit. But Luke 14:12-14, in the NIV it says it this way, Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now, I just got to tell you that I think there's a principle here that we just, you know, we need to be more generous in looking for those opportunities to help somebody that we can help. Amen. And so often, it goes beyond material things. If you can help somebody spiritually, see, if you can help them get on the right track with God, you've done far more than if you gave them some money. In fact, if you can help them, if you can help them get what we're talking about tonight, it'll help them far more than if you gave them 20 bucks. Jesus said, Matthew 10:9, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." See, He is freely given to us. We freely receive. And then He says, freely give. Sometimes our giving is in serving, ministering to others. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 25:34-36. "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.'" And you see, He's talking about us giving of our time, not just money, but being willing to serve and minister to others. In verse 40, He says, "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.'" Now, I don't know about you, but I always want to help the one that's deserving. Not the least. I want to help one of the better ones. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, "When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Kind of puts things in a different perspective. But serving, ministering to those people is a wonderful way to give, to have that generous soul, to be wanting to help people. A study of longevity of older couples showed that people who give time and energy to their friends and relatives and emotional support to their spouses are likely to live longer than those who are only on the receiving end of that equation. So being the generous soul, it might make you live longer too. The generous soul is a free soul. It's a rich soul. It's a soul that is always abounding, always increasing. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. Lots of scripture tonight. You know why? Because I know that there are some strongholds. There are attitudes that need to be torn down, that need to be changed. And listen, it's truth that sets free. If we continue in His Word, we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And so I'm sharing a lot of scripture tonight. I want you to see this is not just me talking, but it's the scripture. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11 says, the Word of God, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I'm telling you, the scripture just says some absolutely amazing things in this passage. All grace abound to you. What if His favor was on you, He says, at all times, so much so that you would have all you need and you could abound in every good work. And I want to clarify here again. There's literally millions of needs. We need to give in obedience. I know we've read it. We've talked about it several times already tonight. You give what you have decided, what you have purposed in your heart. Surely no sincere Christian makes that decision, that choice, without at least an acknowledgement to the Lord. Just turning your heart to the Lord in prayer and saying, Lord, is this what you want me to do? You know, just to ask the Lord, give the Lord an opportunity to direct you in your giving. Surely we don't just do what we want. Y'all are quiet. Maybe you're thinking too hard. I don't know, but I just think if you're going to purpose in your heart, if you're going to decide something in your heart, it ought to be with God's help. We at least ask Him, you know, and short of an audible voice, I mean, maybe you just go with your peace, but at least acknowledge the Lord in that. What I'm trying to get at here is this isn't just a carnal thing that we decide, but we're asking, you know, we should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and ask God for direction. And it should be, our giving should be about obedience, not about feelings. And here's why this is important, because when it becomes about our feelings, I'm telling you, so often we miss God. And we can easily be deceived when it's just about our feelings. I knew a man that, a really good-hearted man, a good Christian man, a good giver, and he gave to so many ministries on TV, you know, you can't outgive the Lord. Listen, that's absolutely true. You cannot outgive the Lord. But I want to tell you something. You can give in places where you shouldn't have. And this man was giving to so many ministries that he couldn't pay his own bills. And you may think I'm wrong, but as his pastor, I said, it's okay that you don't continue to support all these and pay your bills. You need to pray about it and let God speak to you and show you, but you don't have to keep doing, you know, it's like every ministry he'd ever supported, he could never quit because it would be wrong. And I said, you just need to pray about it. You're supposed to pay your bills. And my point to you is that, you see, we do have to pray and get God's direction and give in obedience, not just out of emotional stirring. So often it will get you in a mess, and you may be sowing where you're not supposed to be sowing. And I'm just trying to add, you know, some wisdom to some of that, because, as I said, I've seen people get in a situation where, you know, their giving was not fruitful. So I just want to mention some simple guidelines that I think he lays out for us here. First, it's what you decide in your heart, what you purpose in your heart, not an emotional thing. In other words, later, tomorrow, next week, a year from now, you're still going to feel the same about it. You hear what I'm saying? You're not going to go, oh, I don't know if I should have done that. No, a year from now, you're still going to feel the same about it, because it wasn't an emotional decision. It was something that you decided in your heart, and you believe that you were obeying God. And when you do that, you don't have to look back. Second, he says, not reluctantly or under compulsion. In other words, no pressure. Listen, if there's pressure involved, that's not the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't try to manipulate you and pressure you. He'll lead you. He'll speak to you. Most of the time, it's a still, small voice, but he's not going to try to manipulate you. Third, cheerfully. Now, if God tells you to give it anyway, even though you're not happy about it, that's between you and God. As pastor, I'm going to tell you, if you ain't happy about it, don't give it. Or give it somewhere else. I just don't want anybody to ever give to this church reluctantly or feeling like, oh, I don't want to, but I guess. No, if you don't want to give, don't. I really believe you're supposed to be cheerful about it. You're supposed to be happy about it. I think you're supposed to give, but I think you're supposed to be cheerful about it. That's what the scripture teaches us. And it's that free attitude of a generous soul that we know that God is going to take care of us. We don't have to hang on to our stuff and our money. And let's keep going. He says in verse 9, he says, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way. Wow. So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, that generosity, it has an impact on the kingdom. What an amazing thing. Made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. I want to be that guy. One more time. The words of the Lord Jesus, is more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm going to close with just a simple testimony. I don't consider myself to be a great giver, a big giver. I'm learning. I'm growing. I want to be a generous soul. Any money I've ever given to the Lord, whether it was through a church or helping someone in need, I've never looked back and missed that money, ever. I've never looked back and thought, man, I wish I had that money now. You know, we need that money now. I've never had that experience. And if it seems like I'm being arrogant, I certainly don't mean it that way. I'm just telling you that God's been faithful, and that when I've never had that. When I give, it's always been a freeing thing, a joyful thing, because some people are like, I don't want to give it because, you know, what if I need it later? I don't know what that's like. God has always been faithful to me. I've never had that experience that, you know, oh, I need that money now. If I had that money now, I could do this. Think of all the things I could do with that money. All I know is that God has been so good to me, far beyond what I deserve. He continues to be so generous to me. And I really believe that He wants us to be generous to others, generous in giving to His kingdom and His work. I hope that this came across tonight right. I know I just was kind of way out there being real candid with you, but know my heart that I want to help you. I want you to be free. I want you to enjoy this part of your life when it comes to money, that you're free and you're generous and you enjoy it. You're cheerful. You're happy about it. I believe that's what God wants us to have. So stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank You for the truth of Your word. I pray, Father, that You would just continue to open our eyes and help us to understand these principles of the kingdom, and help us, Father, to be obedient to it. Help us, Father, to be free and to truly be a generous soul. In Jesus' name, I thank You for it. Amen. Lord bless you.